In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The problem with pericopal preaching is that it does not always give the full picture. This happened last week at our communion service when Pastor Nichols was assigned the first dozen or so verses of John chapter 4 concerning Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And he dealt as a result with Jesus' confrontation with her and his analysis of her ills. But his text did not contain the latter part of the story, or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, the reading for today. So I would like to consider these verses briefly with you this morning because they are relevant not only to all Christians at all times, but also to us in America in the 20th century and to our special guest, Reverend Leopoldo Gross, president of the Argentina Lutheran Church. Now, there are many points which are fascinating about this text. Not the least of these is the fact that Jesus, in his conversation with the Samaritan woman, declares openly to her that he is the Messiah, the Christ of God. He was able to do this to her, you may remember, because the Samaritans had a different messianic expectation than did the Jews. They held only to the Pentateuch in the Old Testament, and so derived their messianic hopes from it, especially from the book of Deuteronomy. So they saw the Messiah principally as a teacher, not as a king. So they had none of the false military expectations that so many of the Jews of Jesus' day had. More significant for us, however, is Jesus' interchange with the woman regarding place of worship, the location of proper service to God, which we find in our text. The Jews, of course, had Jerusalem as their place. The Samaritans, however, did not acknowledge that city as their own. Rather, reverencing a center of worship in their own land, they worshiped on Mount Gerizim, a mountain dedicated to God according to their own reading of the law. But what does Jesus say? First, he says, the Samaritans are not correct. Salvation is from the Jews. And therefore, given the terms of the debate, Jerusalem is the correct center of godly worship. Secondly, and more importantly, however, he says that all of this is irrelevant. For the time is coming, he declares, when all of this will be done away with, when all that Jerusalem stands for, all that she was a preliminary fulfillment of, would come to pass. When, to use the language of the book of Hebrews, the true reality would come and that which is shadow would pass away. And what do we see as the fulfillment of that time? Jesus' words are clear. The time is coming, and now is when all will be fulfilled. In him was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophetic hope. And this is surely true. Think of his career. In him, God came to visit his people. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Messiah, the promised King of Israel, King David's greater son. He performed the miracles which the prophets predicted would be performed at the end of the age, when God himself would return. The eyes of the blind were opened. The ears of the deaf were unstopped. The lame men leaped like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sang for joy, Isaiah chapter 35. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon his ascension into heaven, and he himself embodied in himself all that glory which we shall have, we who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, as he conquered sin, as he strode victoriously over his enemies on Easter morn, and as he obtained a glorious and immortal body when creation was restored. Yes, in Christ's coming, the last days of the prophets had come to pass. We wait for them no more. And how significant this is in our day and age for all of us here, and also for you, President Leopoldo Gross. For what a gospel this is to believe. Do you need forgiveness? Come to the cross. See the suffering servant, the one predicted to die on your behalf. Do you need guidance? Come to the Messiah, the King of Israel. As the woman at the well declared, he will proclaim to us all things. Do you need healing? Do you need restoration? He can and did heal and restore to life again, though always in his own good time. You will remember that Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. So you will be healed too. Now in this time, perhaps, or at the resurrection, but surely at the resurrection of the dead, when all creation will be restored. What greater promise could there be? And what a wonderful gospel this is to proclaim. There is no better gospel. Despite what you may hear from some, there is no fuller gospel. You will understand this if you do not already do so, as I did again this past week, making calls for Zion Lutheran Church here in Fort Wayne, as I proclaimed the forgiveness of sins and spoke of the power of the resurrection at a deathbed to the dying man and to those who lived and grieved. This word gives total victory. This word gives total renewal. This word gives total freedom in Christ, and that is our victory song. And what a powerful word this gospel is. It is so powerful that it works even when the proclaimers themselves have doubts. Listen again to verses 29 and 39 of our text. The woman said, "Come, see a man who told me all that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" And many of that city believed on him on account of the testimony of the woman. The woman herself did not believe. The Greek text makes that clear. Yet many came to faith, and so too it is with us. We too will have days when our faith is weak. We too will go through periods of gut-wrenching doubt. But that will not shackle the gospel we proclaim. That will not stop the growth of the kingdom of God. President Gross, under your leadership, new churches have been opened. Under your leadership, new missions have been planted. Yet some of your men may have acted out of jealousy or envy. Some of your men may have preached from evil motives, not good. Some of your men may have acted only to advance their careers. And yet the gospel has been proclaimed, which means that the gospel has been heard, which means that the gospel will be believed. For it is God alone who loved us, it is God alone who has saved us, and it is God who gives the gift of faith no matter what we do. May our good and gracious God keep us in the faith. May he keep us faithful to him, faithful to his word, and may he use us, all of us, here in Fort Wayne, in the United States of America, in the land of Argentina, or wherever we may serve him, to bring his powerful word of victory over sin, victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over corruption, and victory over all evil to men and women everywhere. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen."